I will be reading from the New Living Translation, so your version and my version might not follow exactly, but what I'm reading will be up on the screen. These words are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became heaven, made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about Him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for He existed long before me.' From His abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is Himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." The last time I was here, I told you that I would be doing, when I'm present with you, I would be doing a sermon series revisiting the foundations, laying the foundations of our faith, because let's face it, some of us are quite old. Not just quite old because we have gray hair and bald spots and bulging bellies and, you know, masculinity that has fallen to new locations, but laying foundations because of our experience with Christ. You know, some of us have walked with Jesus since we can't even tell you when it began. Now, some pastors tell you, you better know the moment that you received Jesus. But some of us started out very, very little. And some of us didn't receive Jesus until we were very, very old and were babes in the faith. And we need to understand what it is about our faith that makes us unique. In the world of faith, what makes us unique? As we were watching that video, I thought of a question. I thought, is Jesus a liar? The answer is
no.
I didn't like that answer. I like the answer. I just didn't like the volume of the answer. Is Jesus a liar?
No.
There you go. Okay, now you can all go home. I'm happy. Well, in the first sermon of this series, which was the previous sermon, we dealt with that question about who is God. And in that sermon, we identified several basic characteristics and names for God. But we're still left with the place that Christianity isn't unique in having a belief about God. I told you in that sermon that to my knowledge, every major culture that has ever walked the face of this earth has had some belief in an eternal life. They have some belief, except for the most solid atheist. All religions have some belief in some God. A faithful Jew, for example, would agree that Yahweh is the sovereign creator of all universe, as well as the creator of you and I. A faithful Muslim would agree that Allah hears the people's needs and He knows the people's troubles and He responds to them with love and compassion. Believers of other faiths would agree that God teaches us the way to live and guides our path. But where we as Christians differ with other faiths is in this Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus Christ is unique in His divinity. We believe He is unique in His humanity. So for the second in my Back to Basics series, we're going to take a look at what Christians believe about this Jesus Christ. What is it that makes Jesus so different for Christians? He was born a man, a Jewish man, 2,000 years ago, near Jerusalem, over in Bethany. He lived around Jerusalem until he met his demise when he was crucified on the cross at the hands of the Romans. Now, I do not blame the Romans totally. The Jewish people had a lot to do with Jesus, our Christ, going to that cross also. Only the most skeptical of historians would disagree with that point. But yet, there were thousands of other men around Jerusalem and throughout that region of the world who were also crucified by the Romans. So we're still left with what makes Jesus of Nazareth different than many of them? What makes Jesus so influential that we would call Him Christ? Why was Jesus so important that time literally stopped and restarted with His birth? We have reset the calendar itself, and we declare all events are literally related to the restart of time. For us old people, we had B.C. before Christ, and we had A.D. Now, modern science insisted that we change, and we couldn't have before Christ any longer. It wasn't politically correct. So today it's B.C.E., before the common era. Thank you. How'd you know I was going to stutter on that? Why do millions of people still celebrate His birthday on December 25th? What made Jesus so special? To answer this question, we need to look at what Jesus Himself said about Himself. And when we do that, we'll find that there are two names that Jesus uses more than any other to describe Himself. First, He refers to Himself as the Son of God, appearing 74 times in Scripture. Then He refers to Himself as the Son of Man throughout the New Testament, 81 more times. There are other names for Jesus that Jesus used about Himself, but they're used much more infrequently. These two names, Son of God, Son of Man, reveal to us a lot about the God that was in our previous sermon. The God that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God. It is this identity that makes Him so unique. Jesus didn't just know about God in some special way. Jesus didn't just have a special closeness to God. He didn't just represent God or teach a message about God. Jesus, the human being, is the divine and all-powerful God. And the living God is uniquely and personally present in this human Jesus. Biblical scholars believe the oldest part of the New Testament is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. These scholars believe that Paul was quoting from an ancient hymn that was sung by the very earliest followers of Jesus. No, Diane, I'm not going to sing it. In the hymn it says, "Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." In the hymn, it says Jesus was both the form of God and the form of humanity, having emptied out his divinity so he could take on human flesh. There is a book titled When God Left Footsteps by Pam and Stan Campbell, and that is exactly what the title is talking about. God living among us as one of us. God walking among us in the person of Jesus Christ. God breathing and speaking and laughing and weeping as one of us. Because of this, it turns our ideas of who God is completely around. When people ask the question, "Is Jesus God?" they're beginning with an assumption that they know who God is. And then they wonder, "Can you fit Jesus into your God picture?" As Christians, we answer this question, "Is Jesus God?" By saying we don't 100% know exactly who God is. But we can certainly discover who God is by looking at Jesus. The God we worship is fully present in Jesus Christ. And through him, we can discover who God is and what God is like. The second name is Son of Man. Jesus is also known as the Son of Man. In fact, this is probably the name that he most frequently used to refer to himself. When he talked about himself and what was going on this earth, he talked about himself as Son of Man. Now, we just talked about the Son of God and what that means, that Jesus is the image of God, how he's a child of God and reveals the true character of the Holy God by his own presence in this world. So, if Son of God means we are able to see God, what do you think the Son of Man would mean? Well, it would stand to reason if the Son of God revealed the true nature of God, that the Son of Man would reveal the true nature of humanity. And that's exactly what Jesus did. As a Son of Man, he revealed to us what being human is really all about. Now, I know we are all used to seeing human beings running around. We know how they feel, how they think, what they like, etc., what they look like. We have a great idea of what it means to be human. But here's what was special about the way Jesus was human. As a Son of Man, Jesus showed us not just what being human is like. He showed us what human beings are meant to be like. Christ showed us what being human was meant to be like. As a Son of Man, he's the image of what God intended for humanity. We probably don't like that part. We probably don't like the fact that Jesus is showing us what we're meant to be like in life, because it makes us uncomfortable. When we're honest with ourselves, we know that we really don't have the lives that God intended for us. Oh, we might not set out meaning to do it, but we do it. We do things that hurt other people. We do things that hurt ourselves. We have immoral thoughts and desires. We desire people, money, and power more than we desire God. We are broken people who live entangled in sin and broken relationships. We're not free. We're caught in our problems, and life is often painful instead of joyful. alienated from God, alienated from one another. We don't really live the lives God intended for us. But Jesus did. Jesus did live the life God intended. He lived with love and generosity and daring and joy. He touched the untouchables. He challenged people, both powerful and powerless, to live by God's standards. He taught and healed and loved people. He loved even to death. And he led others to God through the life he lived. He lived life the way it was meant to be lived, full of love and compassion, passionate about God's law and inviting others to do the same. He was fully human, the way human was meant to be. And in that, he showed us what kind of relationship we should have with God. As the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus walked this earth, teaching earthly people the truth about God that seeks us, the God that loves us, the God that expects us to follow his ways. He challenged both rich and poor to align their values with God. He welcomed the strangers and the outcast. He healed the sick. He worshiped and prayed and never turned his eyes from God. We thought we knew what human beings were meant to be like until we met him, the one who is not a liar. As a Son of Man, Jesus showed us the life that God intended. There were many people drawn to him because of it. There were many people who were deeply afraid of him because of it. There's that Bible story about Jesus walking one day when he and his followers came upon a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus spit on the ground, made a little mud paste, rubbed it in the man's eyes, told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and came back seeing. This was greatly upsetting to the religious establishment of the time. But the man reminded the religious leaders of the time that God listens to those that do his will. And Jesus did, in fact, have the power to heal. And in response, the religious authorities kicked him out of their synagogues. We're afraid of being rejected. Young people, you know, they will make a commitment inside of their group of peers, but they still carry with them a fear to stand in front of the full student body and lead a prayer, or to admit that they're a Bible-carrying, Bible-thumping believer. Praise God for those that are so brave that they do stand up for our Jesus, who is not a liar. It was on a cross that Christ died and suffered, not for the sins that were his own, but for our sins. He didn't die just for our sins. We have to remember that. In that song we sang just a while ago, we're going to take our seed and we're going to re-sow our seed. We have a whole community outside the walls of this building that need to hear Jesus. They need to know Jesus. Jesus died for them. Remember, they don't need to be told they're sinners, because they're going to hear that as our passing judgment on them. We don't have that authority. God created us to be people free from sin, people free to be who God intends for us to be, and able to have a close personal relationship with God. He set us free as a Son of Man, the one who was truly, fully human, to be as whole as he was. So we've talked about three important things thus far: that Jesus is the Son of God, that he reveals to us who God is, that Jesus is the Son of Man, that he shows us what God intended for human beings to be like, and thirdly, that Jesus died for our sins and the sins of everybody else that's outside this room that doesn't even know that they're a sinner yet. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus made a way for us to reestablish that close personal relationship with God and to be set free from the penalty of sin. If we only know these three things about Jesus, those are three good things to remember. But the important part is not that you just know those things, but that you know the difference that this makes in your own life. In seminary, I had a ton of friends. I had 10 friends. They were all 200 pounds. No. In seminary, I had lots of friends who challenged one another with, do people know that you're making a difference for Jesus? I told them, you know, you guys, I'm so jealous of you. You're jealous of us. Look at all that wisdom you already have. Yeah, I don't have a great conversion story. I was never addicted to drugs. I was never in the ditch on the side of the road. Well, that's not true. I was there once, but that was for a different reason. I've never been so knocked down, drug out, drunk that I fell into the ditch on the side of the road and knew that my only salvation was looking up and had this great conversion. These kids are so powerful, so wise. One of them looked across the table at me and said, "But Gary, don't you understand? Your story is because God kept you from there." Oh, man. You hate it when young people are right. Knowing who Jesus is only useful to us if we're using that knowledge as a guide for our own lives. The Christian life is a life lived believing that Jesus was made for us to become whole, has forgiven all of our sins, and has provided abundance for us as we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you have never made that decision to trust Jesus, I encourage you, don't delay any longer. Trust what he says. Follow his words. Believe that he can save you from sin and death. Believe that he is the very Son of God who lived and died for us. I invite you to take this opportunity today, right now, before we do communion, to make that decision. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time to do that. I invite you, elder members of this church, not elder necessarily in age, but in Christian experience, invite you in the name of Jesus to become a fellow follower, to take the name Christian for yourself and know that intimate relationship with God that only he can provide. So now we are left with one final personal question. And this time I am going to point. And this time when I point, I will know that there are fingers pointing back at me. we are left with this question: what are you going to do with this Jesus? Please pray with me. We thank you, God, for the many ways that you are active in our world today. We're especially thankful for the way you showed yourself in the personhood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you draw near to us now and touch our lives. Forgive the times when we have turned away from you, lived our lives apart from you, chasing after temporal things. Forgive us for the times we have put ourselves in first place and forgotten the needs of our neighbor. We know we're not perfect, and we know we can't become perfect by our own power. So, Lord, we eagerly embrace the forgiveness your Son Jesus provided for us through his death on the cross. We place our full trust in the abundant life of Jesus, that life that he offers through his resurrection. Help us believe in Jesus with all of our hearts, all of our minds, on all of our strength. Help us to live for Jesus by following the path he laid out for us. Fill us with your love, that we might become examples of your grace in this world and be people that draw others into your healing love. Asking this in the most powerful name ever, Jesus' name. Amen.